Everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you join me today for another in-depth conversation with topics and subjects and knowledge that you really must know, particularly because it's about learning what we need to do to support our health and well-being and to rejuvenate and to learn the difference between the myth and the truth. So that's what this program is all about, allowing you to make informed decisions. And isn't that what we are all looking for, how to make the best informed decisions for ourselves? Now, if you haven't gone to my website, I really want to invite you to go over there, opt in, because I've got a couple of very special reports that are freely available to you, all about hormone myths, hormone truths. There's a great special report all about adrenal exhaustion, which is such a fundamental issue regarding our ability to maintain hormonal health and balance. So just opt in over at What Women Must Know. It's a great venue to learn, to get lots of free educational material, and also to have access to many of my interviews and programs. So that's one thing. And the other thing I recommend you do is to go over to my Facebook page, like me over there at What Women Must Know, because I just am doing lots of postings these days. There's so much information I want to share with everyone. So I am enthusiastically getting out there and putting numerous posts out that provide you with great information. Sometimes there's a recipe, sometimes there's just something that catches my fancy, and most of the time it's really important information to help you understand and learn. So there you are, what it's all about, getting great information. I know that's what transformed my life, having access to truthful information, and that's what I endeavor to do to the best of my ability. And today we are going to have another show speaking about truthful information. This is a topic that is of great interest and concern and passion for me. And what we're talking about today is, actually, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We are talking to a most enlightened pharmacist. Ross Pelton is my guest. He is a registered pharmacist. He also is a certified clinical nutritionist. He's much more than that. He's been out there on the leading edge, writing and empowering people with great information. And he has his latest book out called The Pill Problem, How to Protect Your Health from the Side Effects of Oral Contraceptives. So this is a really hot topic. What is going on with the pill that, you know, millions and millions of women are taking in this country, 100 million people, women are taking them around the world. But what's the scoop here? And it's a really big story. And also, since I have Ross with me today, I'd like to talk to him about some other areas of concern for me, and one of them is the consequences from taking antidepressants. So if you or someone you know is on antidepressants, and most likely there is someone you know or you are because it's such a widely prescribed drug, then tune in because there's some really disturbing things that I want to share, and I know Ross has some important information. So let me just take a moment and introduce you to Ross Pelton. He is a pharmacist, a certified clinical nutritionist, author, and lecturer. With over 30 years of research and scientific experience, Ross has turned his passion for educating people on their health into a legacy for thousands of clients around the world. He began his career as a health scientist by graduating from the University of Wisconsin School of Pharmacy, and then he worked as a pharmacist for a number of years before joining the Peace Corps in 1972. He taught high school chemistry for 2 years in Malaysia and also closely observed the village shaman and native healing arts in Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. In 1982, Ross began doing cancer research at the University of California at San Diego under the world-renowned scientist, Dr. Gerhard Schrauser. Ross conducted studies with Dr. Schrausser on the relationship between the trace mineral selenium and breast cancer. And in 1987, Ross worked for a year as a consultant to the Gerson Institute, researching and documenting long-term survivors of people who use the Gerson therapy as a sole cancer treatment. Then in 1988, Ross and his wife moved to Baja, Mexico, where Ross became hospital administrator of one of the world's largest hospitals that specialized in alternative and non-toxic cancer therapy. And from 1988 to 1994, Ross managed the inpatient, outpatient alternative cancer therapy for thousands of cancer patients. After returning to San Diego in 1994, Ross wrote about these important alternative cancer therapies in his second book, which is titled Alternatives in Cancer Therapy. Ross is the author of 6 books on a variety of health topics that include the Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook, Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's such a pleasure to have you join me today for another in-depth conversation that I promise you will help to change your life. This program is all about giving you truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding whatever your needs may be, your health challenges, your hormonal concerns. It's all here so you can move forward and really get healthier as a result. So today I'd like to introduce you to a most interesting and knowledgeable person. My guest today is Ross Pelton. He is a registered pharmacist, a certified clinical nutritionist. He is the author of many books and a lecturer. And Ross has written his latest book, which really caught my attention, called The Pill Problem: How to Protect Your Health from the Side Effects of Oral Contraceptives. So considering the fact that 25 million American women are on the pill and 100 million women around the world are on the pill, I think there's some things we really need to know, because the pill is not as benign and innocent and side effect free as we may be led to believe. So we're going to be discussing the pill problem, how to protect your health from the side effects of oral contraceptives. And also, while I have Ross Pelton with me today, he is so knowledgeable, we're going to talk about a few other drugs, such as antidepressants, and what we need to know about them and some of the concerns and side effects that you may not be aware of. And since most people know someone who is on a drug like antidepressants, we really need to be aware. And I'm going to share something that happened in my personal circle recently that has made this a really big topic that I want to share with everyone. So let me just take a minute and introduce Ross Pelton to you. He is a pharmacist, a certified clinical nutritionist, author, and lecturer. With over 30 years of research and scientific experience, Ross turned his passion for educating people on their health into a legacy for thousands of clients around the world. Ross began his career in the health sciences by graduating from the University of Wisconsin School of Pharmacy, and then he worked as a pharmacist for a number of years before joining the Peace Corps, and he taught high school chemistry in Malaysia and also closely observed village shaman and native healing arts in Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. Ross also began work doing cancer research at the University of California in San Diego with world-renowned scientist Dr. Gerhard Schrausser, if I'm saying that right, Ross conducted studies with Dr. Schrauser on the relationship between the trace mineral selenium and breast cancer. He also worked for years as consultant for the Gerson Institute, researching and documenting long-term survivors of people who use the Gerson therapy as a sole cancer treatment. And then he moved to Mexico, where he became hospital administrator of one of the world's largest hospitals that specialized in alternative non-toxic cancer therapies. He also managed inpatient and outpatient alternative cancer therapies for thousands of cancer patients. After returning to San Diego, Ross wrote about these important alternative cancer therapies in his second book, which is titled Alternatives in Cancer Therapy. Ross is the author of 6 books on a variety of health topics, the Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook, the Nutritional Cost of Drugs, the Natural Therapeutics Pocket Guide, How to Prevent Breast Cancer, Alternatives in Cancer Therapy, Mind, Food, and Smart Pills, and now his latest book, The Pill Problem, How to Protect Your Health from the Side Effects of Oral Contraceptives. So, if you are not impressed, I don't know what will. And I'd like to welcome Ross to the show today. Hello, Ross.
Hi, Dr. Selman. It's nice to be with you and your listeners. I'm really happy to have the chance to talk with you.
Well, I've been looking forward to this interview. And as I was reading over your bio, there is something, Ross, that we have in common that you obviously don't know about, and I didn't know about until I ran through all of your great information. I actually was a Peace Corps volunteer in Malaysia in the 1970s.
Oh, really? Well, we'll have to take some time offline to talk about that with
each other. Oh, I'm sure we got lots to talk about. That was a wonderful time for me.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah.
So, Ross, you have a unique background as a registered pharmacist and also as a certified clinical nutritionist. So you kind of have knowledge on all these different facets.
I do. I have a foot in both worlds. I have my original background in education and pharmacy and science and medicine, and then I got passionate about nutritional biochemistry and all things related to health, and so I kind of merged those two concepts and become one of the world's leading experts on talking about the effects of drugs and natural therapies for various conditions. But health is my passion.
Well, you have some great information. I've read through the book, The Pill Problem. Having written so much about women's health and trying to dispel the myths from the facts, the pill has been a topic that really concerns me. And in your book, which is just a pretty fascinating book, really easy to read, but I think that I've looked in the front page here, you have about 16 different issues and
right.
health conditions related to consequences from taking the pill. And, the thing that really concerns me about the pill, Ross, is that it's not just prescribed, as you know, for contraceptive purposes, because now the pill is given to 12-year-olds for acne, it's given for heavy periods, no periods, painful periods, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, perimenopausal women are put on the pill, and of course now the pill is a treatment that is given to women to stop having menstrual cycles and totally shut everything down for as long as they want.
Well, and beyond that, now they're really seriously discussing whether or not oral contraceptives should be available without a prescription. And not that I'm against that, but that will mean that far more women probably are using them. And I want women to be educated and know how they can take some simple, easy steps to prevent the majority of the side effects related to birth control pills.
So this is a big problem because even when women go to their doctors, for whatever the reason is, and I was one of those 16-year-olds put on the pill to regulate my menstrual cycle, which is such a joke, as you know, because the pill causes so many nutrient depletions that your body will never get healthy and be enabled to menstruate if you
right.
are depleted. But, very few women, at least the women that I've interviewed, ever have been told some of the risks and side effects or even had an in-depth history taken before that pill was prescribed and warned of certain possible issues. So it's really interesting that this is so widely prescribed, and we're going to probably shock a lot of people today when they learn some of the side effects and problems that are really going on from the use of the pill.
That's true, and I'd like to give a little background about how I discovered all this information. You mentioned in my introduction that I've written and authored a book on titled Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion, or the Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook. And then I went and wrote a second book on the same information that's more geared to the general public, because the Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook is primarily a reference book for physicians and pharmacists and other health professionals. But when I was researching the Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook and all the material for that book, I was amazed when I found out the number of nutrients that are depleted by oral contraceptives. And that made me realize that many of the health problems that women develop are probably at least in part due to the years that many of them have been on oral contraceptives. And so this, and I've been a passionate advocate of women's health for a long time. One of my earlier books was How to Prevent Breast Cancer, which was published by Simon & Schuster. And since that time, I've continued to be a real passionate advocate for women's health issues. And when I uncovered how many nutrients are depleted by oral contraceptives, I decided that I really want to address this problem and write a book about it and try and help the 100 million plus women around the world that are being affected by the nutrient depletions caused by the oral contraceptives.
Well, that's what we need to do, and I'd like to cover them as many as possible in the time we have. But I also want to talk about some of those other things. Like,
sure, you bet.
You're the expert, and I have you here, so
sure.
I'm going to take full advantage of that.
Let me just mention at the outset here, and women who are listening that may want to get a copy of The Pill Problem, it's available from www.thepillproblem.com.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember.
And we have both paperback and electronic versions for iPads and Kindles and all of the e-readers.
That's great. And I think everyone really needs to get this book, especially if you are on the pill, or your daughter, granddaughter, your niece, friends, coworkers, because this is profound, profound information. We're going to be sharing that. It will make a huge difference.
And you know, Cheryl, I also really publicize and promote this book to men, because oftentimes, like if I'm in my exercise class and there's 20 or 30 men there, many of them have a wife or a girlfriend or a significant other that's on the pill. And so I want to make them aware that this book is available for their significant other.
Yeah.
Because these side effects affect both the woman and the man. And in fact, if we want to get started talking about the side effects, then one of the most critical ones are the sexual side effects that affect all women taking birth control pills. And this is a pretty sticky situation, because many of the side effects that I talk about are correctable by simple nutritional supplement additions to your daily supplement regime. But the sexual side effects are much more complex. And what has been discovered is that all women who take oral contraceptives will have lower levels of testosterone than women who are non-users. And testosterone is the key hormone that regulates our sex drive in both men and women. So all women are going to have some level of sexual dysfunction due to the lower testosterone levels caused by the oral contraceptives. And there are several things that happen. There's a reduction in libido in your sex drive. Women have more difficulty becoming sexually aroused. There is less lubrication, which results in painful sex. And there's a difficulty or inability to achieve an orgasm. So, the sexual side effects from oral contraceptives are one of the primary reasons that women discontinue using them. And so I think women should know about this. And there are some things that I've recommended in the book that might help overcome or at least minimize these problems. DHEA, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is the precursor to testosterone production. So if women take a little DHEA, they can stimulate testosterone production. And in fact, there's a birth control company, a pharmaceutical company in Europe, producing a new birth control pill that has not only the estrogen and progestin components, but also they're putting DHEA in it to try to overcome these sexual side effects.
So you think the loss of libido and lubrication is from the blocking of the testosterone?
Well, there's a couple of things involved, and I don't think we understand all of it yet. But in women taking oral contraceptives have lower levels of DHEA, which means, and since DHEA is the precursor for testosterone, they're going to be able to produce less testosterone than women who are non-users. The other key factor is that women taking oral contraceptives have higher levels of a protein called sex hormone binding globulin. And sex hormone binding globulin is the protein that transports testosterone around the body. But when testosterone is bound up to this protein, it's not free to act at the cellular level. So all women taking oral contraceptives are now found to have elevated levels of sex hormone binding globulin. So there's two factors going on. Number one, because of low DHEA levels, they're producing less testosterone. And then the elevated sex hormone binding globulin means less of their testosterone that is available is free to work at the cellular level. So there's two things happening. And I do recommend a couple of herbal supplements like nettle root and chrysin, which are able to lower sex hormone binding globulin, which will free up more testosterone for these women. And there's one study that reported that taking omega-3 fatty acids resulted in lower levels of sex hormone binding globulin, which allowed for an elevated level of testosterone. And I really think that it's probably the synthetic progesterones, the non-bioidentical progesterone compounds in the birth control pills that are causing all of these hormonal dysregulations with testosterone and sex hormone binding globulin, but it really hasn't been proven yet. But when we compare women who use oral contraceptives with those who are non-users, all women have lower levels of testosterone and elevated levels of sex hormone binding globulin. And Cheryl, one of the big alarm factors for me is that there's an endocrinologist in Denver. Her name is Claudia Panzer. And she did a study with women who were taking birth control pills, measured their hormone levels, found out that their DHEA and their testosterone was low and their sex hormone binding globulin was high. She took them off oral contraceptives. 6 months later, she remeasured their hormone levels, and they still have depressed levels of DHEA, depressed levels of testosterone, and elevated levels of sex hormone binding globulin. So the alarm here for me is that these hormonal imbalances caused by birth control pills, which create sexual problems, don't correct themselves when you stop taking birth control pills. And we don't know how long it takes to correct these things, but Dr. Panzer did a study and where for 6 months after discontinuing birth control pills, women were still having low testosterone levels. So that's a big alarm to me.
It's a really big alarm. You know, in the research I did, and I wrote this in my book, it was a quote, and I've always remembered this quote, and it was a billionaire who makes fertility drugs, and he said his best customers were women in the 30s who took the pill as teenagers and 20s.
Ah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, we don't know how long the dysregulation will occur from having these depletions go on in the body and the stress.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There are a few other things. Let's, in this category of sexuality and what's going on with our reproductive organs, what about vaginal yeast infections? Because that's another issue that I don't think women understand, how the pill acts on candida and increasing.
You're right. That's another very interesting topic. And a lot of women aren't aware of the fact that birth control pills will also increase their susceptibility to vaginal yeast infections. There's a couple things going on with that particular issue. Number one, the estrogen component of birth control pills changes the acid-base balance in the body, and it creates a little bit more alkaline environment, which is favorable for the growth of yeast and bad bacteria, and less favorable for the health and the growth and proliferation of the friendly bacteria. So that's number one. You're changing the acid-base balance, which makes the acid-base balance favorable for yeast organisms to grow. Another key factor is that when you have good bacteria, probiotics in your system, they metabolize sugar for their energy, carbohydrates and sugar, and the primary food for yeasts are sugar. So if you've got a lot of good bacteria in your system, they're metabolizing the sugar, which makes less of it available to the yeasts. And so I really promote good probiotics as a way to minimize the increased risk for vaginal yeast infections related to oral contraceptives. And are you familiar with Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, Cheryl?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's my favorite, and they are head and shoulders the best probiotic in the world. And so that's what I generally recommend that women take who are on the pill to ensure that they have high numbers of good bacteria and the proper pH, which suppresses the growth of yeast and fungal and bad bacteria and ensures that you've got an optimal population of the good bacteria.
You know, while we're talking about vaginal health, I think we also need to let women know that taking the pill actually increases the risk of getting a human papillomavirus, an increased risk of cervical dysplasia.
Yeah, and that's a pretty widespread issue also, which ends up causing a lot of hysterectomies later on in life. And so you bet that's another key issue to alert women to.
And in fact, I always tell women, if you're having multiple partners, the pill may protect you from getting pregnant, but increases your risk of acquiring sexually transmitted diseases because you kind of lose certain immune protection.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Cheryl, one of the things I like to talk about when I'm discussing the side effects from oral contraceptives, I emphasize the fact that these side effects are often without symptoms. So these side effects can be developing over time, and women don't really realize that some of the problems that are developing are due to their birth control. Because normally, if you have a side effect to a drug, it happens fairly quickly. In the first 24 or 48 hours, you get nauseated or you develop a rash or something, and you stop taking the drug, or the doctor changes it. But with birth control pills and the side effects due to the nutrient depletions, the symptoms are very gradual in their onset. And here's an example. Consider a woman who's been taking oral contraceptives for maybe 9 or 10 years, seemingly without any problems. But over the last 6 months, she's been increasingly complaining to her husband or her mate, "Honey, I've got no energy. I can hardly get up in the morning. Or by mid-afternoon, I'm so tired. My feet are dragging. I just have no energy." Well, she's not likely to realize that depletions of vitamin B12, folic acid, magnesium, coenzyme Q10, and selenium, these are all nutrients that are depleted by oral contraceptives, and they're all involved in energy production. So over time, taking birth control pills, these nutrients become gradually more and more depleted, and you start to have less ability to produce energy at the cellular level, and some women actually develop anemia. And selenium is a trace mineral that's required for the production of the thyroid hormone. So if you don't have proper thyroid hormones, that's another reason that your energy goes in the tank. So you can see that the gradual onset of these problems is something that women often don't connect the dots and realize that some of their health problems are due to long-term use of oral contraceptives. And the sad thing for me is that women develop symptoms and they go to the doctor and get another drug.
Right.
When the answer is some of the nutrients to prevent these problems.
So, and with all those nutrient depletions and a whole lot more, which we'll go through, that's why so many women can have difficulties trying to conceive. Infertility is a big problem because over the years of taking the pill, they've become robbed of their key nutrients that support a healthy ovulation and endocrine system.
Exactly.
And,
I mean,
a healthy functioning body and an ability to conceive is not just about the reproductive system. Its reproductive system is connected to everything else.
Absolutely. And there, nothing exists in an isolated environment. It's all interconnected. These things have far-reaching effects.
So because the breast cancer issue is really up, because you've done written a book, because you've done research on breast cancer, you're the perfect person. Let's talk about the relationship between oral contraceptives and increased risk of breast, uterine, and colon cancer.
Sure, you bet. The real critical nutrient depletion that increases the risk to these hormonally regulated cancers, the breast cancer, uterine cancer, and colon cancer, folic acid depletion is the key here. Folic acid is a critical nutrient that is required for the transfer of DNA from a mother cell to a daughter cell. And if you are folic acid deficient, you won't have good replication of the DNA in the daughter cell as the mother cell tries to divide and produce a new cell. And so you are more likely with folic acid depletions to end up with mutations in the DNA in the new cell. And folic acid depletions are more likely to cause problems in cells that rapidly divide. So if you are having trouble transferring the DNA in a healthy fashion from a mother cell to a daughter cell, the cells that divide more rapidly are more likely to develop these problems. And in the woman, the breast tissue grows every month when estrogen cycles into the woman to prepare a woman for a possible pregnancy. And so the breasts enlarge a little bit every month as part of that process, and that tissue growth. So with increased tissue growth in the breasts due to estrogen cycling in every month, those breasts and the breast tissue is a little bit more sensitive and more at risk to mutations and the development of breast cancer. And of course, the uterus is making a new lining every single month as the woman menstruates and then rebuilds the new uterine lining every month. So these cells are rapidly dividing and much more at risk to mutations with folic acid deficiency. And in the colon, the cells that line the intestinal tract are very rapidly turning over. Every several days, you develop new cells that line the intestinal tract. So colon cancer is a much greater risk with folic acid deficiency. And one other really critical issue with folic acid deficiency are birth defects, because the developing fetus, the developing infant, when a woman is pregnant, is the most rapidly dividing cell condition in the body. That when you're building that new infant in a pregnancy, the cells are dividing at an enormously fast rate, and folic acid deficiency is the number one cause of birth defects. So we've got breast cancer, uterine cancer, colon cancer with folic acid deficiency, and also the really critical issue of birth defects.
Wow, so that really will make women sit up and listen, because, if we're forewarned, we can make other choices. And it leads me to just ask you another question, because we're talking about oral contraceptives, which has progestins and estrogens. What about contraceptives that are just the progestins, like the Mirena IUD or the implant that is also commonly used? What are your thoughts about those forms of contraceptives?
Well, they are not causing the same level of nutrient depletions that are caused by the estrogen progestin combination pills. And the patch and the injections are not causing the same problems because they're not taken orally. The problem with the oral contraceptives, if you stop to think of it, the great creator and all of her infinite wisdom, his or her, never designed these strong hormones to be put in the digestive tract of humans. For 99.9999% of human evolution, no woman ever put these hormones in her mouth and swallowed them into the digestive tract. And these hormones are very strong chemicals, And the cells that line the intestinal tract are very sensitive cells. So I think what's happening is that when women are orally ingesting these strong hormones in birth control pills, it's somehow causing the malabsorption of nutrients due to an irritation of the cells in the lining of the intestinal tract.
Oh, interesting.
And that's my theory. That has not been proven, but I can't come up with any other potential idea.
Let those other forms off the hook because they create their own risk.
No, that's right. There's certainly some issues with them also.
Ross, why don't we just take a breath here because we need to have a little break.
Sure.
And we'll come back because we have a lot more to talk about the new book that Ross Helton has just written called The Pill Problem, How to Protect Your Health from the Side Effects of Oral Contraceptives. So stay tuned. More to come. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and you are listening to What Women Must Know. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and boy, are we having a really powerful conversation today with Ross Helton, who is the author of The Pill Problem, How to Protect Your Health from the Side Effects of Oral Contraceptives. We're going through some of the serious potential problems caused by the oral contraceptive pill that you may not have ever been told or warned about. So, Ross, let's talk about a few other of the important issues. I think we really need to talk about the risk of blood clots. That gets a lot of attention in the news.
Sure, you bet. Then let me just repeat for your listeners who are interested in ordering a copy of The Pill Problem. It's available at www.thepillproblem.com. So with blood clots, which is one of the most common side effects of oral contraceptives, the key nutrient here that's involved is a depletion of magnesium. Magnesium is a slight blood thinner, and the calcium-magnesium ratio is a critical thing in the body. So if you have low magnesium and higher levels of calcium, you're more likely to have blood clots. And another thing that kind of plays in here is it drives me crazy when doctors tell women to take calcium to prevent osteoporosis.
Right.
That can actually have a detrimental effect because the body goes to great lengths to keep the ratio of calcium to magnesium at a certain ratio in the blood. And if you take extra calcium and at the same time oral contraceptives are depleting magnesium, there's two things that are creating a bigger gap between the calcium-magnesium ratio. And when magnesium is low, the body will start to leach magnesium out of the bone stores to normalize the calcium-magnesium ratio in the blood. But in doing so, magnesium is one of the most critical structural minerals in the bone. And so leaching magnesium out of the bone is actually weakening the bone and accelerating skeletal problems. So I really emphasize for women, it's not just calcium for strong bones. You need calcium and magnesium and boron and vitamin D and vitamin K and manganese. There's a whole range of nutrients that are required for optimal bone health. But with our story here on oral contraceptives, it's the fact that magnesium is depleted. And if women are just taking calcium to prevent osteoporosis, then they've got two things that are contributing to the problem, elevating calcium and the depletion of magnesium by the birth control pill. So I always try to get women to consider taking a good form of magnesium, maybe 500 milligrams of magnesium glycinate or magnesium orotate twice a day to make sure they've got good optimal levels of magnesium.
Because if you're depleting your magnesium and you're adding more calcium, that ratio is really skewed. And it also, couldn't it lead to calcifications? So calcium being deposited in the tissues around the body?
Well, that can happen. If you don't have adequate levels of vitamin K, you get more of your calcium deposited in the soft tissue rather than in the bones where it needs to be.
I remember having a bone spur. It's not fun.
That's right. That's right. You know, another topic I know you wanted to touch on here was depression and the antidepressants. Is it okay to jump into that topic?
Yes, let's talk about that. We'll start out about depression from the pill, and we can maybe move into antidepressants.
Sure, you bet. Well, this is one of my real hot buttons because I am so disturbed and upset by the side effects of antidepressant drugs. I want to do everything I can to educate women on how to utilize natural therapies to lower the risk of depression or keep them off antidepressant drugs and anti-anxiety drugs. It turns out that there are several nutrients depleted by oral contraceptives that increase the likelihood that women will become depressed. Number one is vitamin B6. Vitamin B6 is required for the production of serotonin. And so if women are taking oral contraceptives and they have lower levels of B6, they're not able to produce adequate levels of serotonin. And there's a pretty generally accepted link between serotonin and depression, although I have some questions about that. But many of the drugs are select serotonin reuptake inhibitors that tend to increase levels of serotonin in the synapse in the brain. So lower levels of serotonin increase the risk to depression. And then secondly, I found out that oral contraceptives deplete an amino acid called tyrosine. And tyrosine is the precursor for dopamine and norepinephrine. And those neurotransmitters are also critical in regulating mood and emotional state. So both of these pathways, the serotonin pathway and the dopamine norepinephrine pathway, are inhibited by the nutrient depletions in oral contraceptives. And then there are two other nutrients, vitamin B12 and folic acid. A deficiency of either one of those can also cause depression, and they are also depleted in our oral contraceptives. So we've got B6 and tyrosine, B12 and folic acid, four nutrients that are depleted, and any one of them can cause depression. I really think it's critical for women who are taking oral contraceptives to take supplemental B6 and tyrosine and B12 and folic acid to decrease the likelihood that they're going to become depressed. And one of the studies I presented in my book was a meta-analysis of 12 clinical trials of women on oral contraceptives. And in 9 out of 12 of those trials, the incidence of depression in women taking oral contraceptives ranged from 16% to 56%. Wow. And these women were not depressed when they started taking oral contraceptives. So you can see there's a pretty large percentage of women that are likely to develop depression when they're taking the pill. And I've been a pharmacist for decades. And for a long time, I've been aware of the fact that far more women than men take antidepressants. Well, now it makes sense to me if millions and millions of women are taking birth control pills, many of them are likely to develop depression. I'm not saying that the birth control pills are the sole cause of depression, but they certainly are probably a contributing factor in the women who are using oral contraceptives.
And then what's the risk of taking the pill and taking an antidepressant together, combined?
Well, that's just going to be another problem that kind of magnifies itself, because when you take an antidepressant, these drugs are called reuptake inhibitors. And although they cause an elevation of the neurotransmitter in the synapse for a period of time, they really are accelerating the depletion of the neurotransmitters, because when you prevent the reuptake of the neurotransmitter back up into its storage sites, it stays in the synapse where it gets metabolized and broken down and excreted. So you're actually accelerating the metabolism or the breakdown of the neurotransmitters. And at the same time, the oral contraceptives are depleting vitamin B6 and tyrosine, which are required for the production of these neurotransmitters in your body. So it's kind of a double whammy. You're decreasing your ability to produce the neurotransmitters, and you're also accelerating the metabolism and the breakdown and excretion of them.
Well, let's talk a bit about antidepressants because we're on that subject. And I just want to share with you what recently happened for me. Mm-hmm. And I had a family member who was prescribed antidepressants. He was about just had 7 weeks into it. And woke up in the morning, he was about to head off for his vacation, got up out of bed and looked in the mirror and just about fainted because what he saw staring back at him was this bruised, bloody face that was swollen like someone had beaten him up. He had no recollection whatsoever of anything happening. And then when they rushed him to the hospital because they didn't know what had happened to him, they discovered he had 3 broken ribs and a fractured orbital bone above his eye, abrasions through, you know, his head and legs, and he had no memory whatsoever of what had occurred to have damaged him, to have broken 3 ribs.
Wow.
And it was discovered that there was some blood on the bottom of his basement step. And they kind of pieced together that he must have fallen down, and then where he fractured his ribs and his orbital bone, which is pretty hard fall, and managed to, you know, get back up and 2 flights of stairs up to his bed and no knowledge.
Wow.
So, you know, he was on Cymbalta, and which they took him off immediately when he was administered to the hospital. But upon further research, what I found, and I've always been concerned about antidepressants anyway, is that this is a sleepwalking side effect. Sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely asleep in an altered state, unaware, even feeling the pain of 3 broken ribs and a fractured head.
Wow, that's a great story. Sad,
isn't that terrifying?
So
we need to talk about this because there are millions of people on antidepressants. Doctors are being prescribing antidepressants like they are going out of style, as though they were just like candy.
Well, I have done lectures at medical conferences on natural therapies for anxiety and depression, and part of my research and part of my presentation at these conferences, I talk about the side effects of the antidepressant drugs. And one of the most critical side effects that is very, very alarming, in animal studies when they are given human equivalent doses of SSRIs, when they sacrifice the animals and examine their brains, as much as 60% of the serotonin receptors are gone.
Wow.
Now, the pharmaceutical industry has a term that they use to describe this. They call it down regulation. I call it brain damage. I think it's very, very serious. And this is why it's so difficult, or one of the reasons why it's so difficult for people to discontinue antidepressant drugs, because there are fewer and fewer serotonin receptors. And I think the reason this happens, and I don't think anybody has really sorted it out yet, but the analogy that I use when I'm describing it is when you take an antidepressant, for example, Prozac or Zoloft or one of these select serotonin reuptake inhibitors, by inhibiting the reuptake, you create a concentration of the neurotransmitter in the synapse that's hundreds and hundreds of times greater than normal. And so the neurotransmitters are just, in their high concentration, hammering away at the receptor site, and they damage them. They're gone. Mm-hmm. And my analogy is, if you look at a plant, a potted plant, it requires water to live and be healthy. But if you drown that plant in water, the way we're drowning our brain synapses in neurotransmitters when we prevent the reuptake, too much water will kill the roots and kill that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my analogy to explain, I think, why there's such an issue with the reduction in serotonin transmitters with the serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And as I was researching this topic, several clinicians and scientists are expressing in the literature that what the drug company should do, and they haven't done and won't do, is have an animal experiment where they have animals on SSRIs and then they stop them, and then at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, they sacrifice some of these animals and examine their brains to see, after the SSRI has been stopped, will their serotonin receptors regenerate? And the reason the drug companies won't do this research is because if they find out that the serotonin receptors don't regenerate, then that is long-term irreversible brain damage, and they will have the largest mass action lawsuit on their hands in the history of the world.
So if you get, if you're prescribed an antidepressant, they do it for all sorts of reasons. I was up in arms when they created a new condition called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which was PMS. And there's a whole story why that happened, but it was women with PMS symptoms are prescribed antidepressants. So that's insane. But so what I hear you saying is the more you're on antidepressants, the more you are losing these synapses, the more you're going to have to stay on them, because if you get off them, you're going to be depressed because you can't create enough of your own serotonin.
You're right. You go, when people go off them, they go into a massive rebound depression that's uncontrollable, and they think they're depressed again. They're not depressed again. It's the side effect of the drug that they're experiencing. So when I counsel people about how to get off antidepressants, it's a very, very slow, gradual process, and you have to reduce the dosage very, very slowly, and with each dosage reduction, you have to allow at least a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks to allow the brain chemistry and the brain architecture to adjust a little bit to that lower dosage before you try to do the next dosage reduction. So it's a pretty critical issue, and I deal with people all the time that are struggling with how to get off their antidepressants or their anti-anxiety drugs. So it's a very serious condition with tens of millions of people being affected, probably worldwide hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Can we talk about the relationship between antidepressants and breast cancer and thyroid imbalances?
I actually don't have any information on that. That wouldn't surprise me if there was a link, but I haven't seen anything. Have you?
I have. I can't remember all the research, but there is, I have seen research between, I think, Prozac and increased risk of breast cancer.
I'd like to see that. Yeah, okay. It'd be very interesting.
And also, also thyroid, hypothyroidism, right?
Well, with the oral contraceptives, depleting selenium, you end up with hypothyroidism. You're not producing enough thyroid hormones because of the selenium deficiency.
And also the fluoride-like compounds?
Yes, that's another brutal, brutal issue that interferes with the thyroid hormones and the thyroid gland. One other thing I wanted to mention, I think, is an issue that's important for women to know, and especially, of course, the women on birth control pills. We've talked about depression. The other thing that's really critical are sleep problems. And again, as a pharmacist, far more women than men are taking sleep medications. The thing to realize about the connection with birth control pills and the development of sleep problems, I talked about vitamin B6 depletion, which decreases the body's ability to produce serotonin. Well, melatonin is the sleep trigger, and serotonin gets converted into melatonin in our brains. So if you're vitamin B6 deficient, not only are you less able to produce serotonin, you're also going to be less able to produce melatonin, which means you'll have insomnia and other sleep-related problems. So this is another issue, and I'm concerned about that because all of the sleep prescription drugs interfere with your REM sleep cycles, and REM sleep cycles are so, so critical for both physical regeneration at nighttime during sleep and also psychic emotional regeneration.
And, insomnia is such a major problem affecting people, men and women.
Yep.
But certainly, and I was always amazed when I looked at the side effects of antidepressants. Insomnia is one of the side effects. And also, by the way, anxiety and depression and low libido are all side effects of antidepressants, which you just think if you're on the pill and you're getting depressed and you can't sleep, so then you're put on these other medications, and it's just magnifying these deficiencies and these symptoms that are showing up, which, it just must drive people crazy. How can they function?
Yeah, you're right. It's a very serious problem. And let me mention another topic here with side effects from birth control pills, which is just the general immune system of the woman who's taking oral contraceptives. And again, let me jump in here and repeat again for your women listeners. To order The Pill Problem, it's available at www.thepillproblem.com. So nutrients that are critical for the immune system, vitamin C, selenium, zinc, and coenzyme Q10 are all critical antioxidants. And all four of those are depleted by oral contraceptives. So if you have lower levels of those critical antioxidants, you're going to have a suppressed immune system. And also these are critical antioxidants which control free radical damage. So in addition to a weakened immune system, lower levels of vitamin C and vitamin E, selenium, zinc, coenzyme Q10, these critical antioxidants, mean women are likely to have elevated levels of free radical damage, which will accelerate their aging process. So weakened immune system, accelerated aging due to the depletion of critical antioxidant nutrients.
Okay, we only have a few minutes to go. You know, what else did we not mention that?
Well, we haven't touched on things like plaque buildup in the arteries. This takes 10 or 15 or 20 years or longer to develop, and vitamin B6, B12, and folic acid are required to metabolize homocysteine and lower the risk of plaque buildup in your arteries. But a woman can go for 20 or 30 years, and all of a sudden her doctor says, you've got clogged arteries. We need to do cardiac bypass surgery. Or, more seriously, maybe she has a stroke or a heart attack. She's not likely to realize that the long-term depletion of vitamin B6, B12, and folic acid have enabled elevated levels of homocysteine, which have accelerated the plaque buildup and created the condition of either the heart attack, the stroke, or the need for cardiac bypass surgery. Also, elevated blood pressure and increased risk of heart attacks and osteoporosis. These are other side effects from birth control pills we haven't had time to go into in depth in our discussion here, but they're all covered in depth in my book. Each chapter is a health condition that is caused by nutrient depletions related to the oral contraceptives. The only topic I've talked about that's not necessarily a nutrient depletion are the sexual side effects and the depletion of testosterone, although that's somewhat related because of the lower levels of DHEA, which is certainly a nutrient.
Well, I think this is a really important book that every woman, every man, as you said earlier, should be reading. And I just want to tell everyone to go onto the website, thepillproblem.com, check it out, go order a copy or download a copy, because it will teach you how to protect your health from the side effects of oral contraceptives. Really important information for every woman.
And as you mentioned earlier, Cheryl, it's a really short, easy book to read. I mean, people can buzz through it in an hour. It's pretty easy to read. It's not difficult. It's just, I think it's very compelling and critical information for women to read especially.
Absolutely. And Ross, thank you for putting your energy and time into creating this book. It's such an important Bible for women. I'm going to be promoting it to all.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on your show. And I'm very happy to have met you and to learn about your website and what women must know, because we have similar levels of passion about health. And sometime we'll have to talk about our Peace Corps experiences.
We'll have you back on, Ross.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again for joining us, Ross.
You're welcome.
And for all of you, we've been listening to Ross Pelton, author of The Pill Problem. Thank you for joining me, and remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.